third grade, I was on the swings at recess. Out of the blue, I looked up at the sky and thought to myself, I believe in God. Cute, huh? I actually didn't know what I was thinking, but believing in God seemed like a good idea. I just wanted to be nice to whoever was behind the clouds by reminding them, I believe in you. So, to this day, to some extent, I do believe in God. I was at church for a Passover dinner, and I was coloring in a diagram of the 10 plagues. Stories say they were sent to Egypt to convince the Pharaoh to free the Jews from slavery. I was coloring in the first plague that turned all the water into blood, and the red crayon I was using made the situation seem graphic. I thought to myself, this is pretty scary and extreme. I don't want to believe in this one. Do I have to like that God could do this kind of evil? Do I have to believe that God could do this kind of evil at all? So, God's influence should be mental positivity, not physical evil. God should have left the water as water, as nature intended, and not turned it into blood. God should have found another way to free the Jewish slaves, like spreading love. I decided to create my own God. Which I will take with me everywhere. If there is injustice in the world, my God will encourage me to stop it. And I will keep my God in mind if I or others need help. I thought a lot more this time, finding loopholes in how much I liked the traditional idea of God. Fast forward to middle school. I overhear a conversation between my Mormon friend and my friend who is both Jewish and atheist. My Mormon friend asks, what do you believe? My Jewish atheist friend responds, I don't believe in God. My Mormon friend is confused. He says, how can you not believe in God when you're Jewish? Well, God is like the center of everything. After a while, they agree to disagree, which gets me thinking. Believing in God works for my Mormon friend, and not believing in God works for my Jewish atheist friend. So there's no problem with that. All in all, I believe in God, my God. Respect to those who do and don't believe in God or gods. And I believe that people across the whole world believe in different things, and that should be cherished, not destroyed.
Religion means different things to different people, and to many people, religion is a big help and a big part of their lives. For example, back when there was slavery in the South, it kept the slaves hopeful when they could practice their religion. But to me, religion isn't a big part of my life. I don't have much of an opinion about religion. People expect you to have a firm decision about what you believe, and I don't. People are all different individuals, and everyone has their own beliefs, even if they adopt other people's ideas as their own. There are a lot of possibilities and way more paths to choose than you might expect. Even within a group of people, like a church, who say they all have the same beliefs, in themselves they are unique. There isn't a quiz that can classify you into religion. Well, there is a quiz on belief.net, but it can't really tell you who you are. There aren't just established religions. No one really is the same as another. There is always the possibility of the maybe and it depends, because it really does depend. I choose the it depends path. I have come to the conclusion that people's religion and beliefs don't necessarily stay the same over time, and mine will forever be changing. Some people might be devoted for life to a specific set of values, and if that's who they are, that's okay. However, when a problem that challenges your strongly held beliefs arises, you can have a crisis that makes things worse. It's healthy to be open to change. Be like a portable dock that is only anchored to the seafloor with a chain, gently rocking and shifting around instead of the dock that is drilled into the seafloor by long columns, keeping it from moving with the flow of the ocean. Even though it feels safer to stand on the firmly planted one, the portable dock is more okay with change, rising up and down with the tide. Your beliefs sway with the circumstances or waves, but you are still always anchored.
I'm lazy, and I know it, from all the BuzzFeed quizzes I've been taking ever since the start of high school. But this is just part of my new lifestyle, and just part of that is more internet use. Here, it'd be easier to ramble all about high school. But I'll try to cover only the most important parts and try to explain my identity. The beginning of high school was about 9 months ago, and that was when my life began. A switch was hit suddenly, and all my thought processes were changing. And that's the most important thing I know about life, is that one day your life is remade and everything will change. It means you begin to relearn or challenge your own thoughts, and new joys or sadnesses or pet peeves may set in. And then there may be new habits, such as using the internet more. And that meant that I could see new aspects of humanity and find out I'm lazy, and that others are also lazy. Now, with so much more available in my phone and computer, I see the world a whole new different way. Going back to middle school, back then I thought I was the oddball, that everyone else had common interests and could relate to each other, and I was just not in there. And in eighth grade, I started becoming jealous of the popular girls who all socialized with each other and had this whatever universal common interest is. And I couldn't bond with them, so I thought I'd always be an outcast. And I was afraid of going into high school because I could be an outcast and older kids and peers could bully me or pressure me into dating or even sex. But that never happened. High school is a wonderful place. It's going to be awesome. Was. Is. And despite the fact I sometimes still feel unsociable, I know I'm not totally unlovable. For one, I have the best PE teacher ever and the best PE classmates ever, who we started bonding early in the year, and could talk about, we clicked with each other, talked about whatever. And that made PE fun. I never would have thought it in middle school, but it really is. The other big factor in the new sociable attitude is marching band. And at first, it was very tough and intense, and how the heck do you hold up your flute? It's trying to droop. How do you keep the angle level? But mid-October, things were coming together, and it all clicked. And since I was feeling much better about it, I started to become more sociable, and I made new friends, and that's when I discovered marching band really is my second family. And my new personality really paid off in the end, because I got to get a new Marcher of the Week award. And one night, we got an award for best visuals as a whole marching band. We all contributed to that, and I feel still so proud. Now I know why we put effort into things. It's good to put effort into things because somehow I'm sure they will pay off, no matter how challenging. But new friends from marching band and PE are just part of another change. I'm becoming an ambivert as opposed to an introvert. So I'm gradually getting better at small talk, and I know it's not the end of the world trying to talk to other peers. And now I can relate to them better than I used to. After all that, my homework skills improved this year. Of course, I was fearful of there being a great homework load in high school, and that came true. And it's really hard getting started on the work. But my parents found this place, Goal-Oriented Academics and Learning Sciences, more commonly known as GOALS, and that's where they help me with my homework. And one of the big ways my homework improved was my notes for bio. They used to be really inefficient to take, but by now, I can take them much more efficiently, and I can even do two in a day. And that's thanks to the early March when there was so much homework. And after all I've learned from high school, you may be wondering, what have I learned in this coming of age, which is the whole reason I'm up here on this stage? Nothing. Nothing compared to high school anyway. I believe that right now, beliefs or religion aren't relevant to my life. I believe that learning to deal with peers or with homework that's best used with my own mental power, not any sort of religion. But maybe one day it will become relevant, when I don't need just my own power. All in all, I've learned life can and will improve, no matter how little you expect out of it. And yes, life may give you obstacles such as a carp ton of homework. But part of life is learning how to deal with them and make it better. And that means I feel I can take so much more. And one day, I will have more to do. But meanwhile, High school has given me many wonderful surprises, such as new friends, new ways of thinking based off new habits, such as internet use, great rewards, such as feeling much happier than I have in the past, and even getting awards. And yes, a lot of changes may happen at one time, and a switch may be hit. For me, that was high school, that switch waiting to be hit. My world was remade, and there are some old ways I can't really go back to, but I found it more positive up there. I think that'll happen to you all who are waiting for high school. It's gonna be great.
As a child, my grandmother told me many stories. She tried to teach me things, important lessons to have in my life. One time, she took a jar off the shelf and placed it in front of me. It was filled with rocks, pebbles, and tiny grains of sand. Slowly, she took the rocks out and poured the pebbles and the sand into bowls. Then, she instructed me to try to fit them all back into the jar. As confused as to why I was asked to do this, I proceeded to first pour the bowls of sand and pebbles into the jar, and then place the rocks in. But as I continued, I realized that the rocks didn't fit. I kept trying to shove them in, but they only kept popping out again. After a while of watching me struggle with this, my grandmother asked me to then try to put the rocks in first. So I took everything out and tried again. This time, I watched as the pebbles filled in the spaces that the rocks had left, and the sand filled in the even smaller spaces that the pebbles had left. And, to my surprise, I could close the lid. She explained to me how the sand was the unimportant things, like watching TV or doing chores, and the pebbles were the things that kind of mattered, such as doing well in school and participating in extracurriculars. The rocks, she said, were the important things in life. To me, the important things in life aren't plainly religious, because I don't know what I believe yet. As a 13-year-old, I don't have the answers to life's big questions or even my own questions. I don't know why we exist or what happens to us after we die. I could try to answer those questions, but they would only be thoughts and theories. They would never really be my beliefs. But what I have learned is what really matters to me in life. What really matters is being kind to those around me, spending time with friends and family, and being happy and satisfied with my life. I must first recognize these important components before I can possibly live the life that I want to. And from experience, I have learned that putting the smaller things first is one of the biggest mistakes that I can make.
Trayvon Martin was unarmed, but he was brutally shot by a neighborhood watch volunteer on February 26, 2012. The volunteer's name was George Zimmerman. He'd called the police on multiple occasions to report what he thought was suspicious behavior. Every time he did this, he was reporting a black male. These previous racial biases came up front when he fatally shot Trayvon Martin because of his race. Zimmerman claimed to have shot in self-defense, but this argument was refuted by the fact that Martin was unarmed and had seen Zimmerman before, as Martin had commonly visited that neighborhood. Zimmerman even claimed that race was not involved, though his previous calls show that he was blatantly lying. Surprisingly, and worst of all, these arguments were taken seriously by the Sanford Police Department and even the Seminole County Circuit Court. It took the court only 2 days to reach a verdict of not guilty. No verdict of guilty, no hung jury, just a false verdict of not guilty, claiming that Zimmerman shot Martin in self-defense. I first read about the Trayvon Martin story years after it happened. In fact, I only read about it really in depth last year in a book called Have Black Lives Ever Mattered? It was a book about stories with many stories of discrimination against black people by an investigative journalist from Philadelphia who himself was wrongfully put in jail in 1989 because people thought he killed a police officer, even though the police officer almost killed him. The story of Trayvon Martin, however, touched me the most out of all the stories in that entire book. It was because it was just a kid who was shot. Trayvon was playing video games with his friend and went to get snacks. He never thought this could turn into the last trip of his life. This is why this story reached me the most, because this could happen to me. I reacted to this story thinking how someone could kill a teenager. I was appalled at this standard of racism. Such events have been happening all too often, showing that racial biases since the 60s have barely changed. Martin Luther King changed the legal aspect of racism, but the mentality of the people has not changed. Empty political promises come to no fruition. The mindset of the people has not been changed much since they threw stones at black people marching on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. We still have Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and of course, Trayvon Martin. All of these were unarmed people who were killed due to racial profiling by armed personnel. This shows that people are not willing to change their mindset to not be racist. What's even worse is that many people don't even accept that racism is still a problem. One poll from 2014 says that more white people believe in ghosts than believe that racism is still a problem in America. It's a problem, as shown by the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally. It showed that racism is a monster to be taken seriously, as evil philosophies such as white supremacism and neo-Nazism, as well as organizations like the KKK, still exist. People need to recognize that a problem as big as racism cannot go away with a few laws or even 60 years. It takes a strengthened education system to do so. In Germany, students are taught extensively about the Holocaust and analyze why it was done and how to stop similar actions today. In America, on the other hand, we're only taught the events of racism. And there's no emotional aspect of it. We're just told, in the words of Trevor Noah, there was slavery, and then there was Jim Crow, and then there was Martin Luther King Jr., and now it's done. This does not lead to a preventive mindset. People are just told that racism no longer exists, so they don't recognize it as a problem even when it's blatant. What the story of Trayvon Martin should teach us is that racism is still very much alive. No matter what income, for example, Zimmerman worked a professional job as an insurance investigator, people don't abandon the racism that has defined America from the start. In fact, the first police forces in America were people in South Carolina who worked trying to keep slaves in plantations instead of enforcing justice. People's mindset needs to change from early childhood through education so that people can combat racism from the very core. Racism divides, and this is exactly what we shouldn't be doing in an already divisive time like this. We should be united, as in unity comes strength. Racism prevents true unity, so it must be eradicated, but people should still remember that it happened and know why it happened, and even know how to prevent it in future times. This is how racism is truly stopped. We should make sure that there are no more Trayvon Martins in the future by ending racism with a firm hand.
When I started working on my credo, I wasn't sure what to write. So I stared at a blank piece of paper for a while, and I talked to some people about my beliefs. One of my favorite things to do is reading. I especially like reading Star Wars books because they feel like they could be possible, at least in the way people might act. I think that people in Star Wars are more realistic because many people either don't care or they are partisans who won't compromise. Some people through history and in Star Wars wanted power and used the scapegoat to get it, examples being Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Chief Palpatine. Well, for those unfamiliar with Star Wars, that would be the wrinkly old evil guy in a cape. All of those people used the scapegoat and got massive power from it. It may seem like it was hopeless for these people to change, but that is only because they didn't feel there was anything to change for. Consider Darth Vader. At first, it seems as though he is purely just an evil extension of the Empire. But at the end of the last movie in the trilogy, he becomes good again, for his son. This shows my belief that things can always change. Another belief of mine is agnosticism. I am an agnostic, which means that I have no clue if a god or gods exist. Some would argue that agnosticism leaves you purposeless, truly a depressing existence. And I reply, why do I need someone else to determine my purpose? The purpose I've made for myself is to make me and others happy for both the short and long term. I feel like this might make the world a better place.
Bless me, I believe everyone and everything can and probably will change. This might include my beliefs.
Beliefs are a strange thing, always changing yet so influential in our life choices. People choose to handle their beliefs in their own ways. Some try to push their beliefs onto others while others keep them to themselves. Some people have core beliefs that don't change their whole lives, but other beliefs can be easily molded. The definition of belief is trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something, or an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. But what does that mean? A belief is something we think is true, something we feel is right. They often end up shaping our opinions and affect our daily lives. Beliefs are so moldable, yet not. They are great to help motivate us and shape our goals, but they also help us decide what we refuse to do. Protests, petitions, debates, arguments all occur because of people's contradicting beliefs, ideas. Almost all religions are based upon certain beliefs. People who go to church often go because they share the beliefs with the church. They can relate and connect, but almost nobody has the same beliefs. All beliefs are molded to that person. Beliefs are important until they go too far. Beliefs can cause some people harm. Racism, sexism, and people being judged on their age, weight, people being homophobic. Those are all beliefs, but does that make them right? Those are all awful things to me, but they might be true to someone else, but that doesn't make them okay. I believe in many things. I believe that killing for sport is bad, but food chains are part of our ecosystem for a reason. I believe there is a heaven, but not a hell, and that everyone has the potential to be good. These are all my beliefs, but they can be completely different than from someone else's beliefs. The strange thing is though, even though all beliefs are different, they're all still beliefs.
Life is unpredictable. You try to predict it, control it, but no matter how many times you check the forecast, you might get stuck in the rain, or traffic, or get sick, or fall in love. But you can't take life too seriously. After all, you ain't getting out of it alive. So what's the point? Currency? Seems kind of stupid if you say it out loud, right? Joy, learning, family, it's up to you to decide. I happen to hate decisions. I think it's about connection, interaction with the world. It's nearly impossible to define yourself without the events in your life and the people in it. In a way, you are the way you react to your circumstances. This might beg the conclusion that you are born one way, good or evil. This is why I have trouble accepting a heaven or hell. If you're born one way, it really isn't anyone's fault. If you're born totally neutral, you are only your circumstances. And if we are made by every decision, we're all in trouble because our baby selves started making those decisions. And I don't know about you, but I don't trust my baby self with my life choices, like my path, or, you know, most things. They say life is short. I say it's rather long. From beginning to end, there's an infinitely large number of points, moments. That's certainly long enough to stop complaining about how short it is. And then it ends. You prolong it, procrastinate it. I'm a teenager, I know about procrastination, but it ends. However, science has ruined me. In every action and reaction, nothing is created or destroyed. Energy, matter, even the universe, it never ends. Nothing ends until something makes it. Life is lazy that way. So I like the idea of reincarnation, of souls recycling. By the way, I hope you all recycle. You don't have to agree with me. If everything in life agreed, it would be boring and unbalanced. Nothing would have ever needed to change, and so nothing would exist. The only breaking news that you'd ever have is two people got into a disagreement, and the end of the story would always be, it was just a misunderstanding. If you know me, you know I love the rain. Well, I love standing in it, in part because others hide from it, so it's really peaceful. This one time during a drought, we had this downpour. I went to Mitchell Park Field, and it was totally flooded. So I just walked around in this surreal lake. So there I was, sloshing in the field, bare feet, drenched, utterly at peace.
and all I could think was thank you. Well, thank you, and that I was going to get sick after this. True, by the way. I was sick for about a week. It's a great example of the belief that joy and suffering come in pairs. Mommy, why is there suffering in the world? Because Eva went out in the rain without her shoes again. Wait, no. Taxes. College tuition. Paperwork. I'm sorry, I got off track. Where was I? Right, standing in the rain. Drenched. At peace, thinking thank you. Get back into that frame of mind. It might take a few deep breaths. Away from the thought of taxes. And bare feet. I don't know where the words thank you were meant to go anywhere. To a god of some sort, perhaps. Honestly, around here there's a very black and white definition of God. Look around you, people, the world's in color. I think everyone has a god of some sorts, but God goes by different names. For some, it is science. For others, it is love, family, God. God is people's support and drive, whatever gets them through hard times and working towards better ones. Maybe a set of rules for the universe that keeps them supported by logic, or the belief that everything will be okay because someone is looking out for them. Sometimes someone is looking out for them, or at least trying to, but no matter the version of God, there is suffering. People, animals, plants are deprived of necessities. People jump off buildings because the weight of life is too great. Who is looking out for them? Other people were looking, watching. People watch our oceans rise, our world heat, our natural wonders disappears, our innocence gets shot and killed, all in the name of progress, or God. Most people's version of God include trying to help the greater good. That doesn't mean the same thing to everyone, though. Some people's version of God means ending everything that is bad. And when they say bad, they mean people of different beliefs. Not everyone agrees on the right course of action, if there even is one. Around here, renewable energy is a big idea. Gun control comes up. Composting, recycling, and education are important to many people. I did an eco-justice project recently. Installed some owl nesting boxes, made some rain barrels, orchestrated some eco-justice and social justice themed murals. And beyond politics, people were eager to help, to do what they could. They just needed a little push. We can do so much more than we do, but often we don't believe we have enough time or we have no opportunity. We need to make opportunities for ourselves, each other, and the world. Give it a push, give it the push it needs to get going. And no. We will not end suffering. We can never fully lift the crushing weight off people's shoulders. But that shouldn't stop us from beginning. There is beauty in the world. We can find it. We can preserve it. We can bring more. You never know what you may find to do. Life is unpredictable that way.
After coming home one day, my brother got off a call with a grim expression. He told me that our grandfather had a stroke and was in the hospital. I was very worried and kept wondering about what would happen. Later on, we visited him in the hospital, and he was as normal as ever. Apparently, he had been annoying the nurses and doctors. He got better and got released a little later. However, I kept thinking, how would I prepare for death? Would I act normal or freak out? I realized that it all depended on what I believed would happen after death. I don't believe in heaven. I wouldn't want someone to be burdened with more life after death. I like the idea that everyone ceases to exist after death. As ominous as it sounds, for me, it is the most reassuring. Once you are content and satisfied, you can be calm without any worry about what will happen next. This church has helped me choose my beliefs about death by teaching me about the different opinions about death and afterlives in Sunday school. I thought about each belief and spoke with others about it. In church, I feel like I can talk about any of my beliefs and share my opinions. Whenever somebody asks me about my church, I say, you can believe whatever you want, just accept and respect other people. This helps me because some of my friends have beliefs influenced by their religion that I disagree with. Unitarian Universalism has helped me be understanding and realize everyone has very different views in the world. I have learned to discuss these matters in ways that develop my understanding, and I like to think that this church has helped me be able to do that. Although I have thought about a few things, like death and talking to others about religion, I am still forming my religious identity. There are other religious questions that I have not yet explored, like why is there suffering, why are we here, and what is the nature of human beings? And I know that when I am ready to explore them, the skills I have learned as a UU will help me.
Vivir es increíble. This was something I saw on a sign in Mexico. It was a large sign, and unlike a board with words on it, this one was just words on a hill. It wasn't an advertisement. If you're wondering what it means life is incredible. Life is incredible. Life is amazing. Many people often forget that. They'll commit to hatred of one group of people, or have beliefs that limit them and their own beliefs. If you have beliefs that limit you, take a moment. Think about why you have those beliefs. Are they preventing you from understanding people? Are you being closed-minded? Nothing big has to happen for you to change your beliefs. You don't have to go through some kind of traumatic, life-changing experience. Beliefs aren't set in stone. I mean, some beliefs are, but many are just slowly developed over time in the subconscious. So take a moment, and I'll give you one, to think about what you believe. Think about it now. Now that you've had your moment, I'd like you to think about how your beliefs match up with who you'd like to be. Who do you want people to see you as? Who is your best self? Because, as I'm sure you know, we present ourselves differently to different people. I might be more myself with my friends and less when talking to waiters. This doesn't mean I'm not authentic. It means I have different comfort levels around different people. People are like onions. The closer you are to their core, the more of them you see. Some people only get to see the outer layers, and that's okay. And think about where you want to go. What's your end goal? Yes, we do need to live in the moment. We should appreciate what's around us, reveling in the beauty of fleeting moments. And yes, we also need to have a kind of ideal in which you may not have done everything right, but you're content. Content. Even the word itself is nice. It feels like peace. It feels like the future, if we don't mess it up first, which we may as well might, the way politics, global warming, and human rights are going. But again, we can make a change. In fifth grade, I participated in an honor society program. My group focused on recycling, and the most profound thing I took from that extra part of school is the idea of a circle of influence. Your circle of influence is whomever you can impart your thoughts and beliefs on. Your friends, family, teachers, coworkers, and even the stranger you unintentionally changed the life of with a single interaction. They are all part of your circle of influence. So use your life, use your circle of influence, go out there, make new beliefs, respect the beliefs of others, be content, be you, and then change the world.